Hey, we're on Superstock Bob tonight. So, if you remember yesterday, we were discussing about is it permissible for someone to have relations for the first time with his kala on a Friday night? And the issue is there are you making a chabura, which would be a malacha deraisa, and are you making a petach? A petach is an opening, but a petach would be a toldah bona. So, those are the two issues that the Gemara had discussed. The Gemara ended up saying that it's machlok between Rav and Shmuel. So we had two lashonot. According to the first lashon, Rav permits it. Rav permits someone to have relations, and Shmuel does not permit someone to have relations. So we assume within the tzad that permits you to have relations, we assume it must be working with the svara of Davar Shein Mekavein is Mutar. In other words, we know that there's a machloket between Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda, and the Tanna Reb Shimon holds that Davar Shein Mekavein, if I do something and it's not definite that it will occur, even though it may occur, so I'm completely, it's permissible on Shabbos to do that. And the case that we'd learned the throughout Shas is Reb Shimon says, Gorer Adam Mita Kisei V'Safsal, that a person can drag on Shabbos a bed, a chair, or a bench, and even though he may make a faro, since it's not definite he'll make a faro, he's permitted to do that. So in the same way here, we'll take it down each way, but in other words, if it's either he's whatever he's doing, he doesn't intend to do it. In other words, it's davar shein mekaveh. In other words, the two elements here are making a chabura or else a petach, or both of them. So, but he, the person, does not intend to do it. And the Gemara is going to learn at the end of today's daf that it's not definite that it would occur, because the Gemara learns that there's a way to have like relations and do it at an angle and a way not to break the hymen. And so it's not definite that you will make a chabura, it's not definite you'll make a petach. That's the hakdama. Everybody okay so far? All right, let me go back into the Gemara. So on the Vav Med Aleph, so it says,
Rabbi, I do have a question. Is this something that is known with this angle business, or this is just something they know?
All right, wait till we get to the end of the Gemara, Daniel. Are you coming in today, or is this all going to be
I
cyber?
will be coming soon.
Oh,
I will
okay.
be
So
coming.
at the end of the daf, so you'll be here hopefully when we get to it. Okay.
Okay.
So okay. So the Gemara says, this is line five on Vav Med Aleph. The Rav Shari, I mean, Rav is matir a man to have relations with his kala on Friday night for the first time. He says, "V'ha'amar Rav Simi bar Chizki b'shmei de Rav." But now again, Rav is matir, so we assume that Rav would hold davar shein mekavein as mutar. That's what would make sense. He permits you to have relations with the kala, even though it's making possibly a chabura or a petach, but it must be that he holds davar shein mekavein as mutar. So the Gemara says, "Va'amar Rav Simi bar Chizki b'shmei de Rav, ha'im es sukriya d'naziata asur l'hadokah b'yom ha'tava." So what Rav says, "Mesukriya d'naziata" is like the stopper in a barrel. In other words, he's got a rag that he's going to use to stop the flow of wine in the barrel. Now he's going to stick that rag in on Yontiv, even though it's going to squeeze wine out of the rag. So we think that's a davar shein mekaveh. So Rav says, "You're not allowed to stick it to seal the bottle on Yontiv, and certainly not on Shabbos." So we think that doesn't go well with the idea that Rav holds davar shein mekaveh is mutar. We think that should be permissible, but Rav says it's prohibited. So the Gemara says, "Bahu afilu Reb Shimon mode." In that case, even the Tana Reb Shimon, who holds that davar shein mekaveh is mutar, even the Tan Reb Shimon would say that it's not allowed to do that. We're on Bava Men Aleph around line six, okay? 6A, Bava Men Aleph. He says, "The Abayi v'Rav at the Amri Karabayu," because the Abayi and Rav both say, "Motor Reb Shimon Psik Resha v'Lo Yamad," that if it's a Psik Resha, which means something which definitely will occur, there Reb Shimon is Moda, that a Psik Resha is your Chayiv if you do Psik Resha on Shabbos. So that's the case of Psik Resha. And so we think that our Pshat, we think, is still working out well. Now, let me just mention this. He gets into a discussion. If you look in this big fat Tosfos, so Tosfos says, among other things, Yeah, on the fourth very wide line, he says, in the asterisk, he says, Afaga v'avi psik reisha b'chein pirish v'aruch d'chol psik reisha lo nichalei shari. So the Aruch says, if it's psik reisha d'lo nichalei, he's not, in other words, he's not happy with the result. So the Aruch learned that that's something that would be permissible. So here, he says, so Tosfos writes, this is from the Daf Yomi Digest. He says, Tosfos writes at great length about the topic of putting a moist rag into the hole of a barrel. In his analysis, he presents a dispute regarding the principle of performing an act where the inevitable outcome is a malacha, psik reisha, but the outcome produces an undesirable result, lo nichalei. In other words, here, he's going to put the rag in. He's going to squeeze out the wine, but the wine will go le'ibud, will go to waste. So, yeah, it's a psik reisha, but it's lo nichalei. It will happen, but he doesn't want it to happen at all. In other words, there's three types of psik reisha. There's a psik reisha de nichalei, that he's happy with the result. There's a psik reisha de lo ichbalei, he doesn't care about the result. And there's a psik reisha de lo nichalei, that he definitely doesn't want the result. So here he says like this, the Aruch maintains that a psik reisha de lo nichalei is permitted even on a rabbinic level. In other words, so according to the Aruch, if it's psik reisha de lo nichalei, you have a green light to do it, according to the Aruch. He says, whereas other Rishonim maintain that although biblically it is permitted, rabbinically it is prohibited. The Shulchan Aruch cites the leaning position of the Aruch with the words, there's an opinion that's leaning, Yesh mi shamatir, and then writes that others disagree with him. That's the way the Mechaber has. So he says, he concludes his ruling, the Mechaber, on the matter by observing that people conduct themselves in accordance with the leaning position, and he suggests a support for following that position. This clearly indicates that Shulchan Aruch maintains that Allah should follow the strict position that psik reisha lo nichalei is rabbinically prohibited, yet he concedes that the common custom is to follow the lenient position. An important point regarding this issue is mentioned in the Bir Halacha. In the specific context of putting a rag into the hole of a barrel, whatever wine that is squeezed out of the rag is ruined, so it constitutes a case where the inevitable outcome produces an undesirable result. The truth is, mentions the Bir Halacha in the name of Tosfos, that even when the inevitable outcome is not undesirable, but the outcome produces nothing that is beneficial, that's lo ichbat lay, it is also permitted. That's what the Be'er Lachan. So in other words, it's coming out with a kula here, that a psik reisha lo nichalei, you have the sheet of the Aruch, and then he says even maybe psik reisha lo ichbat lay. The Mishmur adds that this discussion of whether an inevitable outcome that produces an undesirable result is rabbinically prohibited is limited to Shabbos prohibitions because the requirement of lechem achshavet, thoughtful, intentional malacha. Regarding other prohibitions, the consensus is that an inevitable outcome that produces an undesirable result is biblically prohibited. So in other words, the idea of psik reisha, in other words, when it's talking about Shabbos, so we have the sheet of the Aruch. That's the idea. So it's an important idea to remember that sheet of the Aruch, which you may want, it may be necessary to utilize in certain situations. Let me just do more story, then I'll pause and we'll go on. So he mentions here, Rabbi Victor Nevin Sal Shlita goes regularly to the Kotel to daven Kvatikim on Shabbos. So every Shabbos he goes to Kvatikim. Once he noticed that as someone went through the metal detector on Shabbos, it beeped. So there's a metal detector before you get to the Kotel. So he noticed somebody going ahead of him was beeping on Shabbos. He says, since the light was disabled, the rabbi always assumed the machine was off, which is what the guards always claim. So there was no light on this machine. And they had told him the machine's off. So he's going through the machine each Shabbos and he sees the machine starts beeping. So he sees the machine's on. Now it was clear that the machine was operating as usual even on Shabbos, and only lights were disabled. After Shabbos, the rabbi made further inquiries and found out that the guards left the security camera on as well, which captured video of all the passersby. But Nevin Sal had serious doubts as to whether he could continue to daven at the Kotel with his regular minyan on Shabbos under such circumstances. In other words, so when he's going through, he's, you know, appearing in a video, and it's possible that, you know, this machine might beep. So he says, he reasoned, on the one hand, Tosfos and Shabbos and Ksuv Daf Vav permits performing a malacha where one has no interest or gains, no benefit from the outcome, Sikreis L'Nichalei. On the other hand, the Riz Tzal and others hold that this is rabbinically forbidden. However, there are cases in which this is permitted, such as a Makom Mitzvah. So they want to say like this, if it's a Makom Mitzvah and it's Sikreis L'Nichalei, that we can put the package together to be moderate. So it's Sikreis L'Nichalei, and it's a makom mitzvah. For this reason, Rav Nevin Sal remained in doubt about this issue. Someone suggested they asked Rav Chaim Kanievsky to tell. An emissary brought the question for Rav Kanievsky in Bnei Brak, and the Gadol responded, tell Rav Nevin Sal that there is room to be lenient, This is similar to an emergency situation, the shot of the cock, where we permit secretion of the lowest. With the response reach of Nebensal raised a further question. Quote, it is obvious that Reb Chaim reasons that my prayer is a Tzorach mitzvah with the same halakhic validity as shot of the cock. However, did you tell him there's another batikim minyan in the Jewish quarter, the Rova, which would not necessitate my passing the guard station? So I could have batikim in the Rova, you know, 1,000 feet away. So he says, perhaps Reb Chaim believes that I don't have another minyan available for a batikim. The emissary went back to Reb Kanievsky and presented this new point. Reb Chaim clarified, davening at the Kotel at any time is enough of Tzorach mitzvah for instance. So, but the idea is that you see, like, you know, sometimes, you know, you might need to take, like, sikrachal and nifalei, and then be sorry if it was something else, you know, on Shabbos to permit it to be done. Okay, who's had questions, comments, thoughts on anything you did? What's up? In which case? Yeah, so in Rav Nebensal, I don't know what's low ichpalei. No, I don't, where did you hear it? He says, wait. There's no interest against no benefit. This might be a sick ratio low ichpalei. Okay, but he's being sorry for both those together. Okay, let's go on in the Gemara. Okay, everybody good? Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. All right, so now we're on round line 8 on Bava Medala, 6A, round line 8. Okay. So again, the idea we're thinking is that Rav must hold that Adavar Shenu Mitkavein is Mutar. That's what he must hold. Otherwise, he wouldn't permit you to have beer with the Kala on Friday night. And then when we had this other situation about the Sukri of the Naziata, that was a psik ratio. So v'ha'am Rav Chiya Barashi Amarav halacha Rav Yehuda, but Rav says explicitly the halacha follows Rav Yehuda. He means that davar shenu mitkavein is asur, not mutar. Asur. Rav Chana Bar Ami Amar Shmuel halacha Rav Shimon. Shmuel says halacha follows Shmuel. Davar shenu mitkavein is mutar. Rav Chiya Bar Avin Matni Lo Below Gavre. He learns the same way, but without all the people quoting it. Rav Amar halacha Rav Yehuda. Shmuel Amar halacha Rav Shimon. So now we're up a pickle. So now we have to figure this out, how Rav can hold that Davar Shenu Mitkavein is Asur and nevertheless permit a man to have relations with his Kala on a Friday night when Lechora he's, you know, either going to make, where we had a Machloket, whether it's making a Chabura or not making a Chabura, but that's one thing, and at least making a Petach, right? So the Gemara says, Yolam Rav Rav Yehuda Sfirlei. The Gemara says, In Achinami, Rav holds, like the Tana Rav Yehuda, that Damar Shem Mekavin is Asur. Says, Lahaklish Damar Damif Kapakid. But according to the first Lashon that we learned yesterday, that it's not making a Chabura, because the blood is, like, you know, preserved in a cavity and just waiting to come out. That was one side of the Gemara. He says, but Mekalkalhu Eitzala Petach. But in terms of making a Petach, again, in order to be a Malacha, it has to be something constructed. That's the Klal that we know in general by Hilchot Shabbat. Everything has to be Mitaki, not Mekalkel. So he holds that making the Petach is really a Kilkel. On the one hand, you could say, well, he has an easy ingress and egress, but on the other hand, she's no longer a Betula. Like her, you know, her commodity value is crashed. So it's Mekalkel. So if he holds the Mekalkel, he can still hold it's permissible to have relations with the Kala on Friday night. According to the second Lashon, which we had yesterday, which is that you are making a chabura, and it was because, in other words, it's breaking the hymen constitute a chabura on Shabbat. So we have two lashonos in the Gemara. So if I say it's either chibur machaber, either comes from lashon of chabura, that's the way it sounds like from Rashi in Yesi's Gemara, and that's the way the article explained it. Or it could be that it's the blood is mechubar to the body. The blood is mechubar to the body. But either way, six and one upsets the other. You're making a chabura. He says, Lekalkil b'chaburahu. Same idea. It's kilkil. In other words, with that which I said before for the petach could also be true. And then by the chabura, it's also a kilkil because she's no longer a betula. So that's the way we'll have to go within the shita of Rav. Okay. Who's had questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good? Okay. So now we're 5 lines from the bottom on Bava Medala. Now, again, we said that in the first Lashon, Rav holds it's permissible to have relations with a betula on Friday night, and Shmuel holds it's prohibited to have relations with the Petula on Friday night. So now the Gemara is going to ask a series of questions against Shmuel, who said it's permissible. Now, at the end, the Gemara... Rav says permissible, and Shmuel holds it's prohibited, right? So Shmuel holds prohibited. We're going to ask a series of questions against Shmuel. Did I say that correctly? Oh, I'm sorry, Rav. I'm sorry. Okay. So again, so Mativ Rav Fista. So Rav Fista posed a kasha from the following Mishnah Masechet Neither. It says Tinokish Lo Yis Manali Ro. Now you have a young girl who's, we say, like a minor child. It's she's not at the age where she would have dam, not menstruate, but below the age of 12. This is Venisate. And then she goes to Nisuin, which he could do. The father could marry her off, and she's married on a derisa level. He says, but she has relations with her husband, even though she's a katana. He says, Beit Shammai Umriyam not nimla arba alelot. Beit Shammai, now the question is the dam that comes out, do I have to be choshesh that it's dam nida or not? That's the issue. Or can I attribute the blood to her, you know, the breaking of the hymen? In other words, that's the question. Now, on Dina de Gemara, we don't do this today on Lachma Maisa, but Dina de Gemara, she's only Tame for Dam Nida, but if it's the hymen, she's not Tame Nida. Today we're Choshesh both ways, and the woman becomes a Nida right away on the night of the wedding. But the Dina de Gemara, in one way she's a Nida, one way she's not a Nida. So the Tana Mishnah says, so Beit Shammai says that the way the Besipta said, it means non-consecutive nights. In other words, the first four nights that she has relations with the husband, any blood that she sees, we're going to attribute it to the breaking of the hymen. That's going to attribute it to, and not to Damnita. After that, we're going to assume it's Damnita, according to Beit Shammai. He says, the Hill says, we'll always attribute it to the hymen until the wound is healed. However long it takes for the wound to heal, we'll attribute any blood to the dam betulin. But here's the part that we need for our Gemara. He hears one on the road, and he said, now, let's say she's old enough, she's over age 12, but she hasn't yet begun to menstruate, but she's over age 12. He hears one on the road, and he said, and now she gets married. She's married as a Nara. It says, Beit Shammai says, the first night, no matter how many bilot you have the first night, according to the Gemara, we don't do it like this today. So then anything she sees that night will attribute to the Dam Betulin, according to Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai says that we're going to give her four consecutive nights. Here it's consecutive. So she's a Betula, she's married on a Wednesday. So we're going to give her Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and Motzei Shabbat. So anything she sees, any blood she sees on any of those nights, will attribute to Dam Betulin. Now, turn page on the top line on the base. So my love, Ido Baal Matzi Ba'il. So in the question, Rav Chista assumes that that when she sees Dam, that the Betulin have not yet been perforated. In other words, let's take a little Rashi. My love, Hanachar Ba'alito Motzei Shabbat De Katani. In other words, he didn't do a full penetration. In other words, whatever he did the earlier nights, he didn't do a full penetration. He says matzi l'mibal, so he could do it subsequent nights. Any blood that comes out on a subsequent night, habu dam betulim in Rashi. So from here, I see that you're allowed to have bia for the first time on Shabbat, even though you'll be making a chabura, So it's on top line in Gemara. I'll pause it just a few lines, okay? So my love, ilo ba'al matzi ba'al, apilu b'Shabbat. So is it not that the Tana of the Mishnah is saying, the way Rav Chista assumes that he doesn't, that if she's seen dam, he didn't make a full perforation the first time. That's what Rav Chista assumes. So he didn't make a full penetration the first time, and that's why she's seen dam. So Rav Chis is asking, it seems like from, again, this Mishnah, it sounds like that a man could have relations with his wife for the first time on a Friday night and then see the Dam Betulin, That's what it sounds like from the Mishnah. In other words, any blood she would see on any of the four nights, assuming the way Rav Chis understands the Mishnah. So if he didn't make a full penetration on Wednesday night or Thursday night, or then Friday night he has a full penetration. This is the blood, but that's Dam Betulin. But the idea being that from the Tana Mishnah, you could have relations for the first time on a Friday night, And that goes against what Shmuel said. Shmuel said he can't. So the Gemara says, I'm a Rabba, lo, labar mi Shabbat. So Rabba wants to say, perhaps the pshat in the Mishnah is, when the Mishnah said you have 4 nights, it means till the end of the 4 nights, but not that you have a green light to have relations on Friday night. So you'll have relations maybe Wednesday night, Thursday night, not Friday night, and then Mosei Shabbat, but you can't have it on Friday night. So then the Mishnah would be in conformity with Shmuel. So Amar Le Abaye, so Abaye says to Rava, but on Mosei Shabbat, Arba Alelot Tatani, but the Mishnah is very clear. Till Mosei Shabbat, i.e., 4 Alelot, which means 4 times you could have relations with her. So that doesn't sound like your pshat. So Elam Rava, so rather Rava revises his explanation in order to defend the sheet of Shmuel. Again, Shmuel holds you're not allowed to have relations with the wife the first time on Friday night, but this Mishnah seems to say that you could. So Elam Rava Shabbat. So Rava disagrees with the way that Rav Chista understood the Mishnah. Rava says that Shabbat, in other words, he could have had a penetration on an earlier night, but notwithstanding that, it could still be blood on a subsequent night. And that's what the Tana means. So it means he perforated the Betulim, let's say, on Wednesday night, and then he's having relations with her Thursday night and Friday night, but he's not making a Chabura on Friday night because he already had relations with her on Wednesday night. That's the way Rava understands the Mishnah. So the Mishnah is not giving you a green light to have relations for the first time on Friday night, but subsequently you could have it, even though you might have a situation where some blood comes out. Let's just see. Elamah Rav Shabbal. Ik Shabbal my Kamash Malan. So if he already had relations with her and he penetrated her on an earlier night, what is the Tana teaching me that he can go forward and do it? He said, and it was my Kamash Malan by teaching me 4 nights, including Friday night. In other words, the Tana is emphasizing that you're allowed to have relations on Friday night. Kamash Malan, the Shari Lemival B'Shabbat, Kiddushmuel. So the Tana, the Chiddush is that you're allowed to have relations with your wife on a Friday night, even though it's possible some blood may come out, like Shmuel says. Damar Shmuel, here's the Chukam, Utar L'Kneis B'Shabbat, B'Yaf P'Shemesh Yitzroro. So this is like an allegory or a metaphor. Shmuel says, like, you're allowed to enter like a constricted opening on Shabbos, even though you're going to upturn some pebbles. But he means that having had relations with your wife on Wednesday night or Thursday night, you can go ahead and do it on Friday night. Now, it's possible. Let's take a look in the Rashi. He says, the eighth narrow line, Shemesh Yitzrorot, he kicks up some stones or pebbles. It is possible within the realm of possibility that he might cause some bleeding, but that possibility, you know, isn't so great that should prevent him from having relations with her. Okay, let's just think for a minute what we did, and then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. So again, Shmuel says you're not allowed to have relations with your wife for the first time on a Friday night. That's the first episode. So the Gemara asks, well, what about this Mishnah in Masechet Nidah? It sounds like you could have relations with your wife for the first time on Friday night. So the way Rava explains the Mishnah in order to make it in accordance with Shmuel is the Mishnah's not saying for the first time on Friday night. The Mishnah's saying if you had relations earlier, you could have subsequent relations on Friday night, even though there is a possibility it might cause blood, but that safek is not enough to prevent you from having relations with her. Okay, who's had questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good? Okay. All right, let's go further. All right. Now, okay, we're around line 8 on Vav Amud Beis. Okay. Now, again, so Shmuel says that you're not allowed to have relations on a Friday night. So Mativ Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef asks Akasha against Shmuel from the following Mishnah, Masechet Brachot. Chatan patur mikriyat shema laila rishon ad motzei shabbat im lo asa ma'aseh. That a chasen, a groom, is exempted from kriyat shema. Now, which kriyat shema they're talking about? So the quote in the article, the Master of Vitri says it means kriyat shema lamita, but others want to say it's kriyat shema of Mariv. There's a question whether it includes kriyat shema of Shacharis, but certainly, you know, some want to say it means kriyat shema at night. So a chasen is exempt from kriyat shema the first night, ad motzei shabbat. In other words, the first night is Wednesday night. Until Motzei Shabbat in Loa Samase. If he hasn't consummated the marriage, he's exempted from Kriyat Shema. This is the idea of Osef a mitzvah, Patur a mitzvah. If I'm busy, I'm toiling. You know, by the way, I forgot, you know, last night, you know, when I was thinking about it today in Yeshiva, like, it seems so obvious to me. And sometimes people ask me questions here, and I just don't think. Remember last night David asked me why we don't say essay dokalota. I said, do you remember that? Yeah. So Shabbos is an essay and a lota. So did you say that last night? I just didn't think of it. And it's come up, he's asked a question like that in the past, but I just didn't think of it last night. Okay, anyway, now, so Mati Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef is like this. So, Chatan Patur Mikriyat Shema Laila Rishon Motzei Shabbat Lo On Samasa. So the person who's, he's Oseik B'mitzvah, in other words, he's so, fartumel, thinking about what he's going to do, which is a mitzvah, so he's exempt from Kriyat Shema, because Oseik B'mitzvah is Patur Min HaMitzvah. So my lab de tari de bai lemimo. Is it not that he's tarud? He's, you know, so, what's the right word? He's so, well, he's so like, or tumult is the best word, but I don't know how but he.
Preoccupied.
What? Preoccupied. Okay. He's so preoccupied with the perspective of having bia with his wife. So he's exempt from kriyat shema. So that would mean, lechora, that even on a Friday night, that's what the Mishnah says, that even on a Friday night, He could have bia with her, and that's why he's exempt. If he can't have bia with her Friday night, why would he be exempt? So that's a kasha against Shmuel. So Amalei Abaye. So Abaye says to Rav Yosef, and again, Abaye was the Talmud of Rav Yosef and Rabba. So Amalei Abaye lo, the Tari de lo ba'yo. So Abaye says, no, I could say, to interpret this mission in accordance with Shmuel, that the pshat is not that he's, you know, preoccupied with what will take place in the future. He's preoccupied that he has not been able or has not yet consummated the marriage. Because he's preoccupied with thinking how he hasn't done it yet. So, and he's not going to do it Friday night. That's the way Abaye wants to say it. So the Gemara says, Amali Rava, Mishum Tirda Patur. So the Gemara assumes right now within Abaye that anything that, any thought that preoccupies me will exempt me from performance of the mitzvah. Because this is not where I'm going to prospectively do it. It's just that I didn't do it in the past. That's what we think. So the Gemara says, Amalei Rava, Mishum Tirda Patur, because he's preoccupied, he's Patur from Kriyat Shema. El Miato, Tavas Fina Tobayam, Hachanami de Patur. So let's say his boat sank. In other words, he's got a boat and has, $1 million worth of merchandise, and he's a merchant, whatever it is, rugs, diamonds, whatever, and the boat sinks at the sea, and he's preoccupied over his tremendous financial loss. So are you going to say he's patur for mitzvot because he's so preoccupied with what happened? He says, v'chite mahachanami, maybe he'll say takniyeh, he's also exempt from mitzvot. He says, v'ha'ama Rabbi Abba bar Zavda, I'm a Rav, but Rabbi Abba bar Zavda says, I'm a Rav, Avel chayav b'chol mitzvot amruot b'torah, chutz min ha'tfilin, shnemar b'hen pe'er. Then an Avel, a person that's sitting Shiva, he's obligated in all the mitzvot in the Torah, even though he's preoccupied with his sar, with the sorrow of the loss that he sustained. He's chayav in all mitzvot. He says, except from tefillin, means tefillin on the first day, the Avel is patur. He says, shenemar b'hen pe'er. It says pe'er, like tefillin are like a glory for a person. So the post can bring down, it means when the Yom HaKvura and the Yom HaMita are the same day, then Vadai, he's Patur from Tefillin. But more typically, it occurs that you have the Yom HaMita will be on one day and the Yom HaKvura will be the next day. So there, the poskim advise the person when he gets home to put on it from the Beit HaKvarot, because he's an Onein to the burial, so he can't put on Tefillin until after the Kvura, to after the Kvura to go into a room and put on Tefillin that day. So now, so he says, that's if it's not the Yom HaMita and the Yom HaKvura, there's the divided two different days. Anyway, so the Gemara says that's not a tenable explanation, what you just gave. So again, so Abaye was rescuing Shmuel. Says it's Tari Delobai. He's for tumult, he's preoccupied because he didn't have bia in the previous nights, but we don't think that would be enough to exempt a person from Kriyat Shema. Ela Maravo Tanoihi. So Abaye tried to get Shmuel out of the pickle by saying that Mishnah could be reconciled with Shmuel's opinion. But now Rav is saying it can't. In other words, that Mishnah is definitely against Shmuel. Shmuel's an Amora, so now he's got a Mishnah against him. That's not good for Shmuel. So Elma Rav Tanoi. So Rav says you have to say it's really a machloka Tanoim. In other words, he says, we learn in one Braisa, Imloa Samasa Berishon, patur ach b'sheni. If he didn't consummate the marriage the first night, then he's exempt also from kriyat shema the second night. B'sheni, if he didn't consummate the marriage the second night, patur ach b'shlishi. He's exempt on the third night. Now, when we talk about first, second, third night, we assume that you get married on Wednesday. So it'll be Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. So this brisa is assuming that you could have relations with your kala on a Friday night. With Tani Idach, we learn in a different brisa, Rishon Vashini Patur. If he hasn't done a maisa, so the first two nights, that would be Wednesday night, Thursday night, he's exempt from Kriyat Shema, we're talking about. Shlishi Chayav. But Friday night, he would be Chayav. Because Friday night, you're not allowed to have relations with your kala. So then, if that's the case, then we could say, to help Shmuel out, that it's a machloket tanayim, in Akinami, that other Mishnah and Brachot is not like Shmuel, but one brisa here is like Shmuel, that you're not allowed to have relations on a Friday night. But Abaye, hatam nami betirda plihi. Now, Abaye isn't giving up. Abaye said, in other words, Abaye's pshat was that it was Tirda, that you didn't have relations. So Abaye wants to say that machloket, in other words, in those two brises, the machloket is the tirda. In other words, is the tirda enough to exempt him? Meaning that in Achinami, both according to Abaye, both brises will agree you can't have relations with your wife on for the first time on a Friday night. But the question is my tirda thinking that I didn't have relations, is that enough to exempt me from the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, the tirda that we're talking about, which is like a prospective tirda? So let's see, look at Rashi. Everybody with Rashi, 10 lines above where it gets wide. Ba'abai amar lah, hanei tanai nami b'tirda pligi. Ba'ai depat lemi Kriyat Shema, lav mishum d'shari lemival. The brisa that exempts him from Kriyat Shema is not because you have a green light to bia. El k'savar ha'mitztayir tsar shal mitzvah patur mi Kriyat Shema. And if you're, in other words, you're upset that you haven't been able to consummate the marriage yet, you're exempt. Below dami la'avel, the tarit tirda drushut, shein saro mitzvah, afal pisha velo to mitzvah. So he wants to say that it's different than an avel. But an avel, so his tirda that he's thinking about the sorrow has got nothing to do with a mitzvah. That's what Rashi's saying. In other words, when a person's an avelus, he's obviously has to mourn for his, you know, his decedent. But there's no mitzvah to be mitztayer, to be all, you know, like totally preoccupied and upset about it. But here, there is somewhat of a connection to a mitzvah because he does in the future want to do the bia, and he's upset that he hasn't done it up till now, that is more connected with the mitzvah. He says, she'ein tzaro mitzvah, af kishav heil to mitzvah. Uman d'mechayiv sabar, tirda lo pator. So the one who says Yechayev holds that tirda doesn't exempt you. All right. So anyway, so Abaye still has a way. Abaye is still not giving up on Shmuel. Abaye is still holding on to this pshat about tirda. But the Rava's explanation is that it's a machloket tanayim, and we're going to see that we're going to go with this malach with machloket tanayim. Okay. So again, let's just briefly summarize, then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. So Shmuel holds, according to the first lashon of the Gemara, that you're not allowed to have relations with your kala if on the first time on a Friday night. That's what Shmuel holds. So then we said, so we asked questions against Shmuel. So we had the Mishnah in Masechet Nida, you know, that sounded like that he would have relations with her. So he says, no, it's Shabbal. He had relations before, and then they can have relations again, but not for the first time. Then we asked about this Chasen Patur Mikriyat Shema, that a chasen is exempt from Kriyat Shema the first night, and it sounds like even, and then the second night and the third night, you know, till Motzei Shabbat, and so there, that sounded like not like Shmuel, but the Gemara says no. According to Abaye, it means that he's focused on what the fact that he hasn't had, you know, consummated the marriage yet, and that counts as tirda the mitzvah, and then but according to Rava, it's machloket tanayim. That Mishnah goes according to the Tana that you are allowed to have relations. And then there's another Tana who holds you can't have relations with your wife on a Friday night. Okay, who's your questions, comments, or thoughts? I didn't think we could what's up.
When they use the term of Abelut, does it include Aninut? And if it does,
no.
So why are they not asking the question about Aninut? Onen is putting all the mitzvot because.
Right.
But number one, it's a mitzvah.
Again, you're mixing Tash with Mon. So Onen is like in a different zone. It's patur from every mitzvah under the sun.
Okay.
Where? No. we're interested in not a general tour. We're interested in osek b'mitzvah patur min mitzvah. In other words, that's what we're trying to be focused on.
Not because the onen is asuk in the mitzvah of burial, therefore he doesn't have to do anything.
Yeah, well, that is the heter the chacham give him, but I don't know if that explains everything. In other words, like he doesn't even make a brach on food, and he doesn't do anything. So I don't think it's working totally with the idea of osek b'mitzvah. In Ekonami, you want to free him up so he can take care of the burial, but I don't think it's working with the svar of osek mitzvah patur min mitzvah by Aninus. So I think it's a different parsha. All right.
Thought that was the pshat, and based on that, the Moshe Feinstein said, if you have chaver kadisha or in the plane,
right?
You can do,
in Afinami, the
maybe you should.
Right. Yeah, but I don't think again, an onain is patur in all mitzvahs in the Torah. In other words, even making a shakol nivaro, I don't do. So that's not like in other words, that's not going to take me away from the mitzvah. You know what I mean? I don't think it's working with the svar of osek b'mitzvah. That's all I'm saying. Okay. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, let's go on to the Gemara. Okay. So we're going to go with Rabbi's idea that there is machloka tanayim. So the Gemara says, we're around 10 lines from the bottom. Lahani tanai, kihani tanai. So assuming that we have machloka tanayim, we could say these tanayim are mechulak in the same way that these tanayim are. The Tani, we learned the Braisa, akone said a betula, lo yivol betchila b'shabbat, b'chachamim atirin. That if a person, he marries a betula, so lo yivol betchila b'shabbat, the first time he has be with her, should not be on a Friday night, b'chachamim atirin, b'chachamim permit you. So, man chachamim, who are the chachamim? Amar Rabba, Reb Shimon, he, amar dabar shem et kavim mutar. So Rabba says, chachamim Reb Shimon, who holds dabar shem et kavim mutar, and the chachamim, the simple pshat would be to say, or the Tanakama rather, would be mechulik with that. The only thing which is a little difficult is, but I'm going to leave it out right now, Shmuel actually holds like Reb Shimon, and still nevertheless he holds that it's Asr, yeah. So Amalei Abaye, Bahamod Reb Shimon Psik Reish V'lo Yamud. So this is Daniel's question, which he's been chomping on the bit for a few days, or maybe everybody. He says, but Reb Shimon agrees there's a psik resha, so you're not allowed to do a psik resha on Shabbat. So if I have relations with my kala, so isn't it inevitable that I make a kabura? Is it inevitable that I make a petach? In other words, we're assuming it's a davar shein mekavein, which it means it may or may not occur. But isn't it inevitable that it will open up? In other words, like the difference, the simple example would be, let's say you have a refrigerator. So if the light is on, so if light's off and I open up the refrigerator, maybe the motor will go on, maybe the motor won't go on. That's davar shein mekavein. But if the light is attached, so it's 100% certain light will go on, and that's prohibited. So the question is, isn't this a psik resha? What are you talking about, davar shein mekavein? Everything's a psik resha. So that's the end of should be the end of the discussion. Say again what? So if you say like if you assume A like the Arach, and if you assume that it is lo nichalei, that would be one way to get out of it. We'll see. Now, he says here, now, so the Gemara says, Pesik Reish V'lo Yamut, Amar Lei, Lo Kalal Bavli Yimshem B'kiyim B'hataya. So he says, the Braisa, this Braisa that we just learned, isn't like talking or addressing itself to the Bavliyans, the Babylonians, who aren't so expert at Hataya, like entering at an angle. Like the Gemara takes it that there's a way to, you know, have a kind of bia where you don't break the hymen. That's what the Gemara thinks. He says, or the Gemara says, he says, Shein b'kim b'hataya. Ela yesh b'kim b'hataya. So the Brice, there are people who are expert at this, and they're able to have relations where they wouldn't necessarily break the hymen. They would have relations, and that's what the Tana is talking about. Though it's possible they might break it, but they know how to do it the other way as well. So im kain, torei lama. So if that's the case, so if we're talking about people who are so expert at this, about, you know, having relations and not, you know, breaking the hymen and everything else, so why did we say before that the person is like so for tumult, again on the chasen, on the night that he gets married, he's popped from kriyshma, and he's so tired. What's he so tired? He's a baki about. He says l'sheino baki. So that's for the person who's not such a baki. In other words, he's not just an expert. So he's patur, but somebody who's an expert, nothing to be for tumult about. So if that's the case, so what? Just one second. Give me one second. So one second. So when the Braisa says, okay. So when the Braisa says, well, please. He says, So the Chacham writes here, that's like Reb Shimon. So he says, so Yomru Baki Mutar, Shinu Baki Asur. So why doesn't the Tana just say that if you're a Baki, then you're allowed to, in other words, let's go back to this Bryce. We learned there was a whole machloket in the Bryce between the Tanakam and the Chachamim. So why don't we just say that if you're a Baki, you're allowed to have relations, and if you're not a Baki, you can't have relations. So the Gemara says, Robiki and Haim. That the Bryce is saying, talking about a situation where most people are Baki in this to the you know population they were addressing. And Mamela, so then it turns on whether Davar Shenim Kavin is Asra Mutar. Let me just do a few more lines and I'll pause and we'll take some questions. So Amali Ravabar of Khan Labaye. So Ravabar of Khan says to Abaye, if you assume that everybody's a Baki, Elamiata Shoshvinim Lama Mapa Lama. So the Gemara later on learns, and Rashi brings it down. Let's look at the Rashi, the third white line. Shoshvinim Lama, Shoshvinim are the groomsmen. He says, Meachar Shish Bikin Labol below Dam. There are people who are expert to have relations without causing Dam to come out of the woman. Had the Tani come on. So there's a Bryce later on Daphne Bays. That they would appoint two attendants, one for the man, one for the woman. In other words, to check up after each one. In other words, they're going to go in, and one's going to check and make sure that the bed sheet is not spotted with blood. So the woman can't falsely claim that I was a betula and here's my blood. And conversely, one's going to check the man to see that he didn't, you know, dispose of the sheet with the blood in order to make a false accusation against the woman. But if everybody's an expert on having relations and not causing blood, how does it help to have an attendant with them? Because maybe he has relations, there is no blood, and we think that he'll make a false accusation that she's not a betula. So the Gemara says, so why do you have the groomsmen? Why do you have the bed sheet? Amarlay hatam shem yirev yabe. The main concern over there is that he'll see blood and then illicitly dispose of the bed sheet and then make a false accusation. If he has hataya and then he says that she's not a betula, so we can see that she's a betula. He says, let's look at Rashi. He says, Amarlay shem yirev yabe. Six lines from the bottom. Shemelo yatev yotzi dam biabdenu. Maybe he will cause blood. If he does it bahataya, in balaton tomorrow we're dying betula. I should say I am a betula. All right. I'm not quite such an expert on this, but I assume that there's a way to make an examination okay.
I have a question.
Okay, one second, and then we're going to get to Daniel. Then we'll get to you, Ruth. Okay, Daniel.
If there's a way that she's not going to have any bleeding first time. If there is no bleeding, how do you know she is not a betula? Maybe he did ataya.
That's Gemara says.
Any situation where there is no blood or
right. So I assume there's a way to examine her. You're more your field. Here's I have a doctor. Isn't there a way to examine a woman and see whether she is a betula or not? What? Yeah, okay. Some mayor says there's a way to do an examination. All right. Okay.
And how were there such experts in this hataya?
I don't know how to answer.
Most people over there.
It sounds like an Aristotle. Okay, Ruth, you've been patient. Let's hear Ruth.
You mentioned that there are people who are so expert that they know how to penetrate without blah blah blah. Are we talking about auto mechanics here? It's a Baltic thing here to make all fun.
All right. You got a real reaction to your question, Ruth. You got a real reaction. So the Gemara says that in Eretz Yisrael, the people were Baki and doing this. I don't know what more to tell you. Okay.
Maybe they come with the Nechata glasses.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, but this calls into question.
What?
This calls into question.
I don't know. What?
All
right. That's okay. Okay. I don't have any more to say. Let me go further.
But I do. Okay. I do. Well,
what? Okay. Fern, go ahead, Fern.
This calls into question the motivation of a man who's getting married to come and hit a windfall because he's cheating just to prove his case. This is difficult to accept.
In other words, why is it such a windfall of him if he makes the accusation? No ksuba, you mean? What do you mean? What's the windfall?
The ksuba is less. The 100 zuzah.
If she's mezana, there is no ksuba. If she's not mezana, there's no ksuba. But I'm saying if he would make a false accusation, we're keeping our eyes on him. But what's the problem?
Right, but just that someone to go into a marriage.
All right, I don't know. All right,
just, make
know
this false accusation.
Okay, I don't know how to answer. Okay, now let's see back in the Gemara. Now three lines from the bottom. Now, okay, so everybody with me. So it's coming out. So according to Shmuel, you're not allowed to have relations with your kala for the first time on a Friday night. Now, Makiv Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami poses a question from the following Bryce of Masechet Shabbat, which I think people may recall. Actually, it's Mishnah Masechet Eduyah, it looks like. Hamapis Morsa B'Shabbat. If a person lances a boil on Shabbat, im lasod lapechayav, if his purpose in lancing the boil was to make like a permanent opening in the boil, and he's chayav for violating Shabbos, Rashi says two lines to the bottom, shumatakin petach, he's preparing an opening, b'chav mishum boneh, da'ashchan binyin b'balei chayim, d'atib ha'yivin ha'tzeva. So Melechet binyin, Bone can even be with a living creature. So that's, he says, but back in the Gemara, but if his purpose in lancing the boil was to take out the pus, patur, he's patur. And Rashi learns on the top line, you may remember this, it's on Daf Gimel and Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, kol p'tureh Shabbat patur abal asur. Shmuel says that wherever it says patur b'Shabbat, it's patur abal asur, the bar minhanek tlat, except for three cases, tzatzvi, capturing the snake, capturing the deer, and not lancing the boil. So patur. So how can Shmuel say that you're not allowed to have relations with your wife for the first time on a Friday night, which is the way Shmuel was saying, but we learned it's a machloketan the way Rabbi was saying. But how does that shtim ois, what we learned, that if I'm just doing it like to, in other words, he's been damen milton milta. In other words, lancing the boil to get the pus out. We think it's like bia if you want to get the blood out. In other words, so it should be mutar. So the Gemara says hatam pakid ba'akir. So the Gemara says over there the pus is like separate from the boil, and ba'akir it's like separated and dislocated from it. Hatam pakid below akir. Here it's separated, but it's not so much. There was va'akir kulomad abasurba made latse. Hacha dam betulim, the fourth white line in Rashi. Pakidu velo akir lagamre. It's not totally separated. Al nivlak sapktalim. Afa pishenim kubar kishar dama ivarim. In other words, he's going according to the sad. I'm not making a chabura. So the dam is the error. And he says, Ela kanus, mi udoma lamachubar hu, shein mucha latse kalecha. It's not as prepared to leave like the pusses. That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says that those two cases are not. Not similar. Okay.
I have a question.
Okay. Okay. Wait. Okay. Who's got questions, comments, and thoughts? Okay. Daniel, then you go ahead.
When we say that with Hakaya, there is such a reality that there would be no bleeding. Just the fact that it's not going to happen 100%, it's not going to be psychrasia. So even if it ends up bleeding, it wasn't muhrach to be bleeding. So that's already allowed. Am I right?
So that's what we're talking about. That's what we've been saying. That, right, that's what the Gemara has been saying.
Just was not 100%, but does not mean that 100% of the cases.
Well, how low the percentage has to be to be a davar shein mekavein? I'm not certain.
Anything less than
100%. Okay. Here. Anyway. So I'm not quite certain about that. In other words, if something is 98% likely to happen, is that a davar shein mekavein? I'm not 100% certain about that. Okay, what's up? In other words, he wants to say the pus is the pus is separate from the boil, and it's so separate, and it's waiting to come out. The blood, it's not quite part of the blood, body of the woman, but it's not as separated as the pus. In other words, the blood is somewhat connected to the body. No. It's with the pocket of blood sod. In other words, with that sod, but even with that sod, it's not as separated as the pus. That's what the Gemara
says. Say, Raya to that, if you brush your teeth and it causes bleeding, it's asur on Shabbat. but if it's not necessarily going to happen every time,
I don't know, I'm going to end it now. Okay, so okay, let me just end the recording. One second. Last question.